just all you do for us, precious God. God, I pray that you would just meet with us this morning, Lord. I pray you just lead, God, and direct our God and give us needed. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Lord, just we just ask for your help this morning. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, dear God, to receive what the scriptures say. Lord, help us as we sing these songs, maybe just lift our voices to you to give you glory and praise and adoration. Lord, because you're worthy of it. Lord, help us to focus, dear God. Lord, we just pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Stand with me and turn to page 793. Master, the Tempest is Raging, page 793.
Shelter.
take your Bible. I know I'm cutting it short this morning. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1 this morning. Romans 2 verse 1. For those that are visiting here this morning, I got a sign-up sheet for those that are also here regularly. Lord willing, this Friday at 5 o'clock, December 31st, we're going to try to do some pizza here at the church and show a movie concerning the pre-wrath tribulation, and it's how a Jewish wedding goes along those lines there and shows a rapture or the blessed hope or the appearing of Jesus Christ to take away His bride. So we'll be showing that this Friday at 5 o'clock. If any are interested, the church will take care of the pizza and the drinks. If anybody would like to bring something else, a dessert or something along those lines, I won't argue with you. But if you'd like to do that, I got a little sign-up sheet here. If you plan on attending, please put your name here, even if you're not bringing anything, so I know I have a general idea of how many pizzas to order for Friday night. So if you plan on coming, you don't have to bring anything, but if you'd like to come, please sign up here. Also, I put these in the front and the back of the church. I'd like to try to encourage the church this year, if you already aren't doing so, to try to read through your Bible once in a year. Amen. Now, this sheet right here, Pastor Starnes down there in Harrisburg, he showed me this when I was down there visiting him, and I liked it. In the front of it, it's got a little dictionary for some of the words in the Bible. And then it also has a two-year plan. Now, this book's a two-year plan to read through your Bible. So if you'd like to read through it once, just do what it says in 2022 and 23 on that same day, and you'll go through it in 1 year. I also have this here. This is a helpful tool that was shown to me years ago by Robert Murray McChaney, how to read through the Bible in a year as well. I got some of these ordered for the church. So please feel free to take one of these and try to read through your Bible at least once in a year. Amen. If not twice, I'd say three times. Try to get through the Bible in a year. I think it'll be a help and encouragement to you. So the Bible says here, Romans chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." And those things that he's talking about goes back to chapter 1, verses 29 through verses 32. And he says in verse 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of person with God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to gather together in this church. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, Lord, I ask for your help this morning. Lord, I pray you clear my mind. I pray you clear my heart, dear God. Lord, I don't know how to go out or come in, dear God. A lot of things running through my mind right now, Lord, and I pray you just take them out of the way. Dear God, I pray you'd give us what we need out of your word, Lord. I pray, dear God, this morning, Lord, if there's somebody lost here this morning, dear God, never been born again, Lord, never been converted, never been changed, dear God, and passed from death unto life, dear God, I pray you'd open their eyes and their hearts this morning, Lord. They see their soul's need of salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us now, Lord, that you be glorified, honored, magnified, praised, adored, and all that's said and done. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about here in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. We've kind of looked at some of these over the last couple weeks, and I've taken some of these verses and looked at some other stories in the Bible. But Paul says here that there's no excuse for man, and he deals with man about judging. He deals with man about judging situations. Now, some Christians will say, or some believers will say, or individuals out there in the world will say that we're not to judge. Well, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? We are to judge, but we're to judge righteously. Amen. We're to judge according to the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? And listen, if you're living in sin, I'm allowed to judge that, and I'm allowed to proclaim judgment upon it because you're in sin.
Free.
That's not judging. That's sin. Calling a spade is not judging.
Right.
Calling a spade is not judging.
Right.
It's funny how a lot of individuals will be quick to judge the preacher, to be quick to judge one another, but they won't judge their own selves. The Bible says in Matthew 7, we looked at it before, about a mote in thy brother's eye, but a beam in yours. The Bible says in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. 1 Timothy 5, verses 20 and 21 says this, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that they observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. You see, God is a consuming fire. God is not Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But people think God's Santa Claus. They think he's a man up there on a rocking chair with a long white beard, and Peter's standing at the gate, and as long as you ain't done nothing too bad, he'll let you into heaven. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Bible says in Matthew 18:15-18, more if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. You go to an individual, you try to talk to them, they won't listen to you, then you bring others in.
Amen.
Brethren, just be honest with you, the devil's doing a lot to try to get me out of here. If only you would know. If only you knew how much the devil's and whatever is trying to get me out from being here. Pray for me.
Amen.
Pray for me. I'm not just saying it as a cliche, pray for your preacher. There's probably not a day goes by, and I'm just being honest with you this morning. There's not a day goes by that I'm not wrestling going back to Charleston. And I think the only reason I'm still here is because God's got me hogtied.
Amen.
Amen.
If it was Chris Welton, I'm being honest with you this morning, I would not be here. I would not be here. I would not be here. I'd be gone. But I know if I leave right now, I'd be in rebellion against God, and that scares the fire out of me, so I'm not doing it. You try to deal with individuals, if they won't listen to you, then you take two or three more. If they won't listen to two or three more, then the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 18, it says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everywhere may be established, and if they neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. And if they neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The word judge means this. Look, you make judgments. We make judgments every day of our life. If you drove a car here this morning, you made judgments. You made judgment calls. If you go to the store, if you go to the restaurant, you make judgment calls. We make judgment calls all day long. Judge means this. Basically, what judge means is to compare facts or ideas and perceive their agreement or disagreement. Basically, you take things in, you take the facts, you take what's given you, and then you make a call on it. You make a call on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Where judging becomes wrong is when you have a wrong attitude behind it.
Right.
We're to judge things today, brethren. We're to judge things today. We're to compare things today. We're to discern things today. Another word for judge is to discern. To consider accurately for the purposes of forming an opinion or a conclusion. Listen to me. This morning, you ought to judge whether or not this is the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, then throw it in the trash can and let's find where it's at. Stop playing this middle ground with this book.
Come on.
How many preachers, if you pin them down, they don't believe that King James Bible is the Word of God? I had somebody right here in this church. I pinned him down, man. It was a weasel work of a weasel work, man. But I finally got him pinned down. He said, no, I do not believe that Bible is the Word of God. A member of this church. If it's not the Word of God, then take that sign down. I'm tired of these preachers today playing games with the Bible. Dad, there's nothing like that book, brethren. Stop looking at the Bible like it's a physical book. It's a spiritual book.
Come on. Hey.
God's words are spiritual. It's not God worked through men. We'll ask for preach. We'll pray these prayers. Lord, lead and guide. Lord, work through and lead and guide and direct a preacher. But he can't work through somebody translating the Bible. Brethren, if the Word of God is only in the Greek and Hebrew, I'm doing you a disservice. We need to get rid of the English. We need to get the Greek and Hebrew in here. I need to start teaching classes to where we can be as best as we can be in that language if that's only the place where God's Word's at. If not, I'm not doing you right as a preacher. You know what some of this stuff does? It makes a clergy laity type of thing. I can know more about the Bible than you could know because I went to school. Hogwash! I believe a grandma up in the mountains of Tennessee can understand that book than some of these preachers in the pulpits today.
Amen.
See, we look at these things through man's eyes. God can part the waters. God can put the stars out there. God can heal the blind. God can raise the dead. God can save my wicked soul, but he can't keep a book.
Great, Chad.
I'm tired of it, brethren. I'm tired of it. Either get on board or forget it all.
You're right, preacher.
I'm tired of these preachers. I'm tired of listening to these people on the internet. Stop! Do you have God? Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. What did Jesus say? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things. That thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. We're missing the power of God today. We've got education. We got Bible institutes. We got Bible colleges. We got Bible universities. And ignore God in the midst of any of it.
Come on, you're helping us, brother.
God help us today. We've turned our back on God through His Word. You call me a simpleton. Call me whatever you want to call me. That's fine. Just call me whatever. I believe the book. I believe that. I believe what I got in my hands here. Call me a simpleton. Call me uneducated. Call me whatever you want to call me. Whatever you want to label me. I believe my God is God enough to give me His Word in English.
Amen.
Sorry. Sorry if I'm an imbecile. Or I'm a simpleton. I take God at His Word. God said He preserved His Word. Where's that?
Amen.
You know what? You know how important this subject is? Faith cometh by hearing, and how? By hearing the Word of God.
Yes.
You're not, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God unless you've got His Word. So where's it at? Where's His Word? Tell me, where is His Word? If it's not in this English Bible, if this is just the best we can have, then tell me where it's at. Because if not, God's a liar, and God's not doing what He said He would do. God help us. God help us. God help us. God help us to get some preachers back in this land to preach the truth.
Yes.
Trust God for what He said. See God move. See God do things. We're too worried about the emotions. We're too worried about the formality. We're too worried about the structure of things rather than God doing something. I want God to do something in my life, brethren. I want God to do something in my life.
judging things. You ought to judge things. You ought to judge things. Bible says in verses 2 and 3, God's judgment is according to what? Truth. Brethren, you know how I got to believe that book right there? Because God said he would. God said that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, you can't be sanctified. You can't be set apart. You can't have your faith increased unless you have the word of God. Now, either that is the word of God or it's the work of men. You know what? The Muslim is right. I got more respect for the Muslim because they're right. They say, how can your Christianity be true when you got so many Bibles? That's good. I had a Muslim tell me that. And they're right. But guess what my answer was back to him? I believe there's only one Bible. Kind of took him back on his feet a little bit. Brethren, who's telling you that? Who's telling you it? Some book you're reading? Or the Holy Spirit of God? Do you hear me this morning? You know why I believe this book, that it's God's Word? Because of the Holy Ghost of God. I don't believe it's the Word of God because of textual criticism. I don't believe this is the Word of God because of all the books I've read by numerous authors on both sides of the fence. I believe it's the Word of God because the Holy Spirit bears witness that it's truth in God's Word. That's why I believe the King James Bible is the God's Word, not what some man tells me. It's funny how some men will play the Greek and Hebrew game, but they won't play it all the way through. Very funny. It's very funny how we'll take one Greek or Hebrew word and we'll use it for something like repentance, and somebody will say, well, the word repentance means just merely to change your mind. Guess what? I did a study of every reference of repentance in the New Testament, and each one of them, except for I think two or three of them, means something besides changing your mind. It means compunction in the Greek. You know what compunction means? It means sorrow of heart. It means brokenness. It means tears. It means being sorry for what you've done against God. I went to the Greek word. Every time repentance was mentioned, I went to the Greek, which I don't do, but I did. And every time, I think only three times in the New Testament does it mean changing mind. The rest of the time, it means sorrow and compunction. Look up what compunction means. You know what God desires for us this morning to know? Not to get Greek, not to get Hebrew, because you know what? Some of us in here aren't smart enough to get Greek and Hebrew. But I believe my God can give me what I need, because even though I might not be smart enough, He can still give me because I have His Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? You got people believe today you can only get the deep things of God because of the Hebrew and Greek. Yeah, you'll fornicate and spend time with a married woman. I want the deep things of God. I'll spend a night with a woman that's married, but I want the deep things of God. I want my Greek and Hebrew. Come on. God, help us. You say, preacher, you're stirred up. Yeah, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. I'm so stirred up this morning. God, help us. God, help us to get back to what matters. God, help us to stop this arguing and this nonsense and just believe that God gave us His Word and go with it and apply what it says. We get all these deep nuggets and all that, and our life stinks. Our attitude stinks. There's no love. There's no submission. There's no obedience to what the Bible says. But I know Greek and Hebrew. God, help us. God, help us this morning. God, help us. Lord, help. Dear God, help. Brother, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. Jesus says here, the Lord, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God's judgment is according to truth, and there is none that seeks to justify himself, nor is there any upon this planet that will escape the judgment of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment is coming. The judgment day is coming soon. Are you ready for that judgment day? If your deeds, if your works were laid out before God this morning, would they measure up to his word? Would he be pleased with them, or would they damn you to hell? You see, your good works, your deeds, whatever you do outside of Jesus Christ cannot merit you eternal life. The only thing today that can merit you eternal life is putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. It is only his blood that can wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, brethren, this morning, if there's individuals out there today, past, present, or future, that dies without placing their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if they trusted their good works, if they were a good person, if they didn't do really bad, if they never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I'm sorry to tell you this morning, but even if they're your family, even if they're your friend, they are in hell this morning. Let's not make excuses, brethren. The only thing that saves you from hell is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that also produces a change in a life. How many Christians are so-called, quote-unquote, Christians today? Well, I know Jesus, but there's absolutely no fruit, no change, nothing's different from before they got saved to when they did get saved. Yeah, Brother Wells writes, well, bring forth fruit. Fruit. John Newton knew the change. When John Newton got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there was a change in that man's life. We got a lot of people today claiming the name of my Savior, and there ain't no change in their life. And they're bringing a false representation to true godly being born again and changed. The Bible says here that they treasure up hard, that they have hardness, they have impenitent hearts, and they treasure up wrath against themselves. Instead of man being thankful and receiving the goodness of God in his life, he turns his heart from God and it becomes hardened. Impenitent means this, not penitent. It means not repenting of sin. It means no contrition. It means a hard heart. You know why we have a hard heart today? Because men have turned their back on God and have chosen to worship themselves rather than the Creator in Romans chapter number 1. Now verses 5 through 11 deal with two types of mankind. One shows patience in well-doing, seeking glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Take your Bible, look at Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. You got the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Lamentations, chapter number 3. And I want you to look at verse 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 25. Lamentations 3, 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 here. The Bible says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Take your Bible, look over at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15. Luke chapter 8 verse 15 deals with the seed and the sower as he went out to sow the seed and the different grounds that it fell on. But for the sake of time, we'll read verse number 14. Luke 8:14, "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which is an honest and good heart." Do you see verse 15? "But that on the good ground are they which is an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth" what? "Fruit with patience." Is there fruit in your life this morning? You claim to be saved. How's your fruit look? How's your fruit? Look, brethren, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be blood-bought this morning, how is your fruit? You know what I love about verse 15 is it says, which is an honest and good heart. Most people will not be honest with themselves. Most people will not be honest with themselves. I'm afraid, my dear friends, this morning that it'd be hard to come to Christ not examining yourself and being honest with yourself. Seeking the Lord, seeking eternal life. Look over at John chapter 3, verse 15. Are you seeking this morning? Are you seeking eternal life? Eternal life. Which is more important this morning, this life or eternal life? There's many people today that they place great emphasis on this life and very little to none on the eternal life. John chapter 3 verse 15 says this, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Take your Bible, look over John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5:39. Look what the Bible says. Jesus says here to disciples and those around, he says, "Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Look over at John 17. We read there in Romans chapter 2 that these individuals seek glory, honor, immortality, and they also seek eternal life. Look at John chapter 17 and verse number 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." How much have you learned of Jesus this week? I'm not going to have you answer the question. But if you were to put a percentage on it, how much of the percentage would it be that this week I spent on learning of Jesus? We love him, don't we? We claim to love Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. And it's with this man, Son of Man, Son of God, that we will spend eternity with. Romans 5:21 says this, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. What are we laying hold on? What's in your hands? I'm not talking about your physical hands. I'm talking about your spiritual ones. What you holding on to? Some individuals are holding on to children. They're afraid that if they go all out for Jesus Christ, they might lose their kids. Some are holding on to a husband or a wife. Their life, their all, everything revolves around the husband or the wife. And that's what they're holding on to. Some are holding on to a job. Some are putting a job before what the Bible says and Jesus Christ, because they're afraid that if they let go of the job, how will they then support themselves and be able to sustain themselves? Some are holding on to money, afraid of letting go of the money. You know, there's an interesting verse in the Bible in Proverbs that talks about there is that maketh himself poor and hath riches, and there is that maketh himself rich yet hath nothing. Ain't that something? There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. The way up is down, and the way down is up. What are you holding on to this morning? Is there something in your heart this morning that the Lord's been dealing with you about it, the Lord's been talking to you about it, the Lord's been trying to get your attention on it, yet you're afraid to let it go because you're afraid of what may happen after it's let go? The Lord may be asking you this morning to let that go and turn to Him, the eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Lastly, this morning, take your Bible, look back over at Romans. Romans chapter 2, the last few verses here in Romans chapter 2. The Bible says that there's another group of individuals here. These individuals, they hear the truth. God tries to help them. God is good to them. God has been forbearant to them. God has been long-suffering. God has put up with and put up with and put up with and put up with their stuff. Yet with all of God's long-suffering, with all of God's mercy, with all of God's grace and forbearance and goodness, instead of seeing the goodness of God and it leading them to repentance, they turn from it and they harden themselves and they have an impenitent heart. And unfortunately, these individuals, they treasure up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Contentious. The Bible says in verse 7 or verse 8, but unto them that are contentious. You know what the word contentious means? Apt to contend. Given to angry debate, quarrelsome, perverse. Perverse means forward, means unyielding, fond of contention, provoking dispute or contention. The Bible says here that these individuals that reject the goodness of God that would lead them to repentance, rather they treasure up wrath against the day of wrath because of the hardness and impenitent heart. The Bible says, but unto them that are contentious, and obey not, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Indignation means anger mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. You see, it's sad today It's sad today to see individuals who are unwilling to get broken before the cross at Calvary. Brethren, I know of no salvation that doesn't bring about a brokenness or a contrition. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know what's needed in some churches today that will be a help? Is for God to sweep through and break people's hearts. Bring them to contrition. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm serious on this. When's the last time you shed a tear in prayer? I'm serious. If you don't hear anything else I say, when's the last time you shed a tear over someone that's lost? When's the last time you got in a closet and you just wept? Crying preachers for sissies. Don't call my Savior a sissy. The Bible says Jesus wept. I don't cry, preacher. It shows weakness. God help you. Maybe that's why some things aren't getting done. Because we're cold. Brother, I said it before and I'd say it again. You can get the music jamming all you want. And you might even get a little tear, but it may not come from God. It may just come from the music. You know how I would even say, I even said this when I was preaching in the Pentecostal church. I would even say this when I was preaching in the Pentecostal church. Stop the music and let's see if we can get a hold of God. Do you hear me this morning? Too many times this thing right here moves emotions, and this is moving the emotions and not God. About half tempted sometimes to do what Spurgeon did. Spurgeon wouldn't have no music in his church. I didn't know that. They had no piano, they had nothing. They just sang a cappella, and God get in on some of those services. Now, I understand there was some issues with Spurgeon, so don't get all... But there's some good things about the man. I say that to say this. Can you get alone with God and God stir your heart? Can you get alone? When's the last time you got alone with God without no music playing and God stirred your heart? Turn the music off. Turn the music off and put it to the side and try to get alone with God in silence and see if he doesn't do something in your life. That's what we need in church today. We need individuals on their time away from the church, getting a hold of God in their prayer closet, getting broken, shedding some tears, weeping over some things in their own life, and praying for others that are out there. And then we need that to be brought into here, and God would move. See, that would require something on our part. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe when we do our part, God will do his part. Lord, sit here and make me pray, God. And God, if you'll make me pray, then I'll pray. God, make me read my Bible. God, if you make me read my Bible, I'll read my Bible, God. God, make me go to church. God, make me go to church. God, if you make me go to church, then I'll go to church, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord God, I believe this morning you're trying to get some individuals' attention. God, I believe that. As sure as I'm standing here, Lord, I believe it. Lord, I pray, dear God, those that you're trying to get their attention, Lord, I don't know who they are, but thou knowest, dear God. Lord, I pray, God, that they wouldn't turn from it. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's lost, God, they ain't never truly been born again. God, if you're bringing conviction upon them through the power of the Holy Spirit and dealing with them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, Lord, if you're wooing them, Lord, if you're drawing them, dear God, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, if you're drawing them, Lord, I pray that they reach out. God, I pray that they reach out. A seeking sinner grabbing a hold of a seeking Savior. Lord, if you're dealing with a heart this morning, dear God, I pray, Lord, they'd yield to it. Lord God, I pray that they'd yield to it. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there be here someone this morning, I pray they wouldn't walk out these doors and just harden themselves. God, I pray you'd help all of us that are saved in here this morning to get broken before you, dear God. God, I pray for everyone that's here this morning, Lord, that this week, dear God, if you should tarry and you let us live, dear Lord, I pray this week that you would break us, dear God. Break us of our hardness that's in our heart, dear Lord. Lord, I pray this morning you'd break religion, dear God. Lord, if there's just religion, mere religion in our hearts, dear God, I pray you'd break it, Lord. I pray you'd break it so that the waters could flow through, dear God, to bring relief and comfort and peace. God, help this church, dear Lord. Help it. Help the church, Lord. God, Lord, I pray tonight, I pray this morning, Lord, you would do the things that need to be done, dear God, that this church could magnify and glorify you and be that light on this hillside. God, help us, Lord. Help us, dear Lord Jesus. And we'll pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you take your hymn book, I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. Let's do page 358. Page number
Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on. pray to thank you that we're all here today in this meeting. And pray that what we have heard this new day would really sink down into our hearts, and that we would have these joyful tears in our hearts that we know that the Lord did die for us, and not allow his name or his thought to be far from us in any part of the day. That we always remember the words we hear by his voice and his network, by his words that we've read. That he's with us at all times. We just live as he wishes us to live, as he did. And I pray you have us to follow such these things. It's what things we've heard this day. Always let be within us so we do not err in our ways. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.